I want to invite you to grab a Bible for a few moments, maybe, or a lot of moments. I don't know. What do y'all think? And find the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and we'll see what God has for us this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're in this series called Abide, and abide means to stay or to remain, to live or dwell in a place. And we've been talking about this as we start 2018. How do we abide in God? How do we remain in Him? And appreciate the worship team so much. Thank you guys for using your gifts to bless my heart, to bless our hearts. Amen. And, you know, I've been thinking about this as we think about typically this week in our church's life. We also do what I call the State of the Church address, where we kind of look at where we've been as a church. And where we are currently, and then where we're going, where God is taking us. And it kind of really relates to this Abide series as well. And so the title of the message is you know, how to win in 2018. And so a quick recap of our church's history and where we've been. We were started in the early 60s as a church plant, a lot like Awaken, a lot like a lot of other new churches, the Journey Church. There were some people in South Norfolk who caught a vision to say, this is a brand new area of Virginia Beach. Homes are being built. People are going to move there, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to know about Him. And so they sacrificed, and they sent people. And their pastor, Reverend Hughes, drove here in the morning, and they sacrificed money. They purchased the land. I think they purchased the land for something like $5,000. Kind of ridiculous, right, to purchase this whole piece of property we have here today. But it took the sacrifice of those people out South Norfolk Baptist Church to do that, to say, you know what, we're going to give money to a place that, man, we don't live there. We're never going to see all these disciples that will be sitting there in 2018 and those who have come through the doors over the history that God has given us. But we're going to sacrifice and give and stretch so that the kingdom of God could expand. And they caught that vision. And the pastor drove over here early. He preached here in like 9 o'clock service and then went back and drove to South Norfolk. I'm sure he did and obeyed the speed limit all the time. Maybe he had somebody else drive for him. That way, if he got caught speeding, he'd be like, hey, it was this guy's fault. You know, church, I didn't get the speeding ticket. It was pray for this deacon here. And the church just continued to grow and reach the community. And as a new bustling community, they were reaching people out the wazoo. I mean, this place was packed out. It was just a small little chapel building. And then they added this side, and they added the back part, and then they added some more education spaces. And people were just like hanging out the windows. And they decided to put this top part up so that they could have people to make disciples in these classes, and so they could meet. And so it was just awesome. They continued to build, and God blessed our church for many years underneath Reverend Hughes. And then in the 80s, Pastor Lee came, and God continued to bless our church. And we grew through the 80s, and God just used Pastor Lee's faithful ministry. Over 29 years, he was here leading us. I came to know the Lord through that ministry. Many of you may have come to know the Lord through Pastor Lee and his faithful preaching of God's word. And just the sweet spirit that he had, just this gentleness about him. This is, just great shepherd pastor that we got to experience in many years. But as he saw that we as a church were beginning to shrink and needed to re-engage our community, he saw the need to transition and say, okay, God, what's the next phase of ministry for Plaza? What is the next thing that God is calling us to do? And so he began to pray, and I began to try to run away. And so the church and he and myself, reluctantly, after many pushing away and all that sort of stuff, God called me here and us to continue to move forward. And that was 2 years ago. And so here we are now, and still asking God, how do we continue to carry on the gospel ministry, not changing the gospel, but how do we continue to reach our community in ways that, again, may look different because the community has changed, because times have changed. And so that's our aim, and that's what we've been praying for. I want to encourage you to pray for that, and we've seen God grow us some, and we're continuing to ask God, how do we win in 2018, and what does that look like? And maybe just for you personally, what does it look like for you to win in 2018? What would that look like? And so I want us to look. I don't know about you, but I like to be successful. Anybody in here like to be successful? Anybody else in here like to win? Good. All right. Hands down. That means the rest of you like to lose. Anybody in here like to lose? I didn't think so, right? I've been around some of you before. We've played some games. We did a little thing with our staff. Every once in a while, we got the what's that game, cornhole or something like that. We got a little crazy staff competition with some cornhole. And Miss Sandy Viner, who was like, I don't want to do this. You know how Miss Sandy can be. And it's like, I don't want to do this. And listen, man, now she is the cornhole champ, right? Oh, and she is in your face when she gets one. And Miss Sharon's been getting in there. And so we had this three-on-three team going with Tony and Miss Dickerson and Miss Sandy Viner and me and Sharon and Pastor Caleb. And yes, we do work, but we try to take a break every once in a while and play some cornhole about 5 minutes, 10 minutes in our staff meeting to see who wins. But, man, I hate to lose, and I've always hated to lose. When I was growing up playing sports, man, I would be frustrated. I was like the Bobby Knight, right, you know, of kicking chairs and that sort of stuff. Man, I just hated to lose. And what does it look like to win, though? And I pursued winning my whole life. Man, I was a coach's son in basketball, and so that meant I really wasn't good at anything. But I was good at fundamentals, and I had a key to the gym. And so that meant I could be in the gym long before anybody else was. So I was there running laps, doing suicides, getting in the weight room, and I was going to figure out how to win and how to become a better basketball player. And then as things changed, then I went to education, and I spent many years in high school not paying any attention to anything of the educational system. I had other things on my mind. But then I thought, how can I be the best student as I moved into college? And I pursued these things. In fact, I brought a little box. I keep these things in a box for a variety of reasons. But this is my, I like to call it my junk box. And there's just all kinds of things in here that I spent time sacrificing. You know, big old, sports ring when we won state championship. I got all kinds of medals from high school, and I could go on and on from college, and I could go through this whole book and plaques and awards of honor societies and this person of the year and all this sort of stuff. But is that really winning? You notice I keep them in a box. I don't post them because I don't ever want to convince myself, because every once in a while I'll try to lie to myself and I'll say, that's winning. I'll put these jokers everywhere. Look what I did. Look what I accomplished. You know, of the year. But this stuff stays in a box for a reason, because this isn't really winning, is it? And so let's look at the Gospel of John and chapter 15, and let's define what winning really looks like so that we don't accumulate, we don't waste our time pursuing things that really don't matter. And so we were in this chapter last week, and we're going to continue in it for this week, and we'll see what God has for us. Gospel of John, hopefully you had a chance to turn through. I'd love for you to look at the Bible. I hope you have a copy of it or use a mobile device, something like that. That'd be great. Jesus says this in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Reach over, touch your neighbor, and say, I don't like being pruned. I don't like being pruned, right? We don't like that. But God is pruning us. You may be in a season of pruning, cutting back. Doesn't feel good to get the shears on you, okay? That, look at the reason, that it may bear more fruit. God is preparing you sometimes for more fruitfulness. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide, remain, stay, hang out in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be what? Full or overflowing or filled or complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I, what? Chose you. Didn't that feel good to be chosen by God? And appointed you. So I didn't just choose you, but I appointed you. That means I planned for you. I desired. The reason I chose you, I appointed you so that you could go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide or remain or last. So whatever you ask in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Father, this is your word, perfect and true, spoken to us, not dead ink on dry wood, but living words, the breath of God actually speaking to us this morning. And so, Jesus, have your way in us. And if there you're there in your seat, I would love for you to have a conversation with God and say, God, speak to me today, for I intend to obey. You're here for the first time. You're here for the 90 millionth time. Lord, speak to me today, for I intend to obey you. Father, again, we ask for your presence here more than anything else, because, God, that's what we need. King Jesus, ruler, Savior, lover of our soul, thank you for meeting with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't have too much time, but I want to talk to you about how to win. Point number one I want you to write down is you got to define success. You got to define success. You got to define what the picture of success is. Otherwise, you will spend years and time going, climbing up the wrong ladder, get to the top, and realize, wow, this is not what success was. And as you define success, let me encourage you to ask God, God, what does success look like? Because if he is the one that created you, right, he is the one that, as we just read in the Word, chose you and then appointed you or planned you so that you could go and bear fruit, he would know what success would look like for your life and my life. So you have to ask God to define success. And I want us to look at verses 8 through 10. And I believe God gives us a picture of what success really looks like so that we can understand, so we can know, yeah, we're winning. We are winning. I'm winning. But if you don't define what success looks like, you might convince yourself that you're winning. Look at verse 8. Notice what he says. Verse 8 says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. What is success? What is the highest honor? What is the loftiest accomplishment? The greatest attainment? How do you hit a grand slam in life and finish the race with flying colors? Many of our brothers and sisters this past week, we have seen go home to be with the Lord. These flowers right here are dedicated in honor of Miss Jeannie Ward, Sean Cruz's mom. And man, she passed away at 55. Another funeral last week, 22. I mean, you know, we don't know. Life is a vapor, and you are here, and I am here for a short period of time. And what is success? Success is right there for us, right? By this, my Father is what? Glorified. This is the point. This is success, is that my life would bring glory to God. That's the whole reason I was made. I wasn't made to show off myself or my skills. I was made to bring glory to God. That's the reason you were made. That is the highest success. That's how you hit a grand slam. That is the greatest achievement and the highest accomplishment, is that you could hear at the end of your life, well done, my good and faithful servant. Okay? You have brought me glory. You were made, every human being was made to glorify God. The book of Isaiah, I've been reading through Isaiah, man, it's been so good this year. Isaiah can be a little scary and freaky at times, but it's just so rich. Isaiah 43 says this. This is God saying to his people who he's calling back. They've been wicked. They've been rebellious. And he says this, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Why do they need to be brought back? Because they've been wandering from God, right? They've been walked away from God. And God says, man, I want them back. Come back into a relationship with me. Come back into my house. And he says this, look, check this out, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my, what? Glory. Whom I formed and I made. You're a mom. You're an office worker. You're a trash person. You're a nurse. You're a doctor. You're retired. You're a teacher. You're all these things. You were made to glorify God through and in all those things. You don't have to be a pastor to glorify God. It's okay. You're safe. Don't worry about it. Okay? You don't have to pack up all your belongings and move to another country to go be a missionary in order to glorify God. Hey, guess what? You don't even have to come into this building to glorify God. You can glorify God in all the variety of things you do. Because again, look at what the verse says. Look at what the verse says. Hey, John Turner, you mind closing that back door for me? My little ADD kicks in. I get distracted. I'm like, I wonder what kind of car is driving out there. And you'll have to forgive me. But look back at verse 8, right? Look back at verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified. Okay, what's the this? Well, we got two options. It could be the verse before or continuing that verse. If you look at verse 7, he says this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. And so verse 7 would lead us to believe, okay, that abiding in God, remaining in him, staying connected with him is how we glorify him. And that is true. And then we pray and we ask God for things. And we say, God, man, your word is in me and I'm asking. Isn't that crazy to think that, man, we could ask God for whatever and he would answer it? Most of us have written off that verse because we're like, yeah, I tried that, and it didn't work because I prayed for a car when I was 19, and I didn't get that car. It was a Thunderbird, this color, right? You had the whole thing. But we're asking when we're not abiding, right? We're asking in our own selfishness. We're not asking. When you're abiding, man, you're connected to the heart of God, and the things you ask for do get done. And a lot of times we're not willing to ask for God to do great things, for God to do miracles. And it is in the answering of our prayers that God is most glorified when we're abiding in him. I mean, think about that. What says that God is great? Is that when you're like, I'm just a little nobody, and I prayed for this, and boom, and it happened. That person got healed, not because of me, but because, man, God told me to pray for that, and I prayed for that, and it happened. I wonder if we even have that space in our minds to be able to pray like that as Christians in America today. Most of the time, we're like, we just pray little safe prayers, right? I do it all the time, right? Just, Lord, bless me, keep me, protect my little family, and, you know, and we don't ever ask God to do the miraculous. And so that would be one way we glorify God, by abiding him, his words abiding us, and then us praying for people, praying for miracles. Or then look again at verse 8, and I think both of these things are true. By this, my Father is glorified that you what? Bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. And so it's in the bearing of fruit that God is most glorified in us. And so I wrote down this phrase, and I shared it with you guys during the Advent series. It's one I've shared before. John Piper wrote this as a quote, and this is sort of a definition. I changed this definition a little bit because I think this helps us. How do I glorify God? How do I glorify God? How about this? How about this statement that I chopped and edited from John Piper? God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. That's the abiding part, right? Abide in me, my words abide in me. I'm just satisfied in God alone. And then that spills over into others' lives, right? And that's the fruit that comes out. Isn't that how it works? Like, man, I'm connected. Last week, we had the drill out here, and I'm connected to the power source, and I'm able to do these things. And so God is most glorified in me when I'm just like, Jesus is all that I need. I'm so satisfied in him because I'm spending time with God. I have a real relationship with him. I enjoy his presence, not just knowledge, but I actually love Jesus. He loves me. We spend time together. And then, man, that just oozes out of me. It's just my cup is just overflowing, you know, and it spills out into others' lives in love, right? That spills out. The love of God, the abiding we have spills out. And that's how you win. You do this, you glorify God by just abiding in him, staying connected to him, and letting that just spill over, you will win in 2018. I don't care what your bank account looks like. I don't care what your relationship status is, okay, on Facebook, not on Facebook, whatever. It's not official until it's there, okay? I mean, I don't care what your health and your body looks like. You can say, I am winning. I am finishing the race. As our brother Dr. McDermott passed away and went home to be home with the Lord just the other month. And I think about him, and man, he was a man who was still faithful to do what God was calling to do. His body couldn't enable him to do a lot. He was in pain, but man, he was encouraging people. He was encouraging me. He was here, and man, he was a blessing. He was praying for people, and he was glorifying God even in the midst of his suffering because he was abiding, and that was overflowing into us, right? We had the privilege to be in his presence, and it brought us closer to God. And so that's how you do it. Point number two, and I'll try to move quickly here, is this, is you got to draw strength. And this is really kind of related to it, is that you got to gain strength. And how do you gain strength if you want to win in 2018? Well, you've got to abide. Very clear instructions in verse 4 and 5, right? If you're going to define success, and success is glorifying God, being so satisfied in Him and spending so much time with Him that I just ooze God's power and love into others' lives, well, you got to be connected, right? Look at verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by what? By itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And again, I love how Jesus repeats himself, gives it to you a little different way, changes it up, the remix. Okay, verse 5. I am the vine. You got it? I'm the vine. You're the branch. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen to me. Apart from spending time with God, apart from staying connected to him, you will not have the strength to be able to win in 2018. Spending time with him. Some people say, Pastor, you know, how did you get to be a pastor? You know, how did you do this and do that? You know, did you go to Bible college? You know, I didn't step foot in a church. So I was like, you know, I went every once in a while, like Christmas and Easter, but I didn't know anything. I couldn't tell you the difference between Noah and David and Jonah or any of those guys. I didn't know anything. And man, 17 years old, step foot here, and I just hear the gospel preach. I hear all this stuff. Brandon, I never even touched the Bible before, right? I thought like I would burn it if I touched it, you know. And somebody like, wanted to give me when I was too nervous to touch it. And so, I didn't go to Bible college. I don't have some kind of great degree from a seminary. How did you learn the Bible? I just spent time with God, folks. I just spent time reading the Bible. And listen, I'm not the smartest cookie in the jar or however it goes. I'm a few French fries short of a Happy Meal. Like, I don't have it all together in case you haven't been able to tell. But I spent time with God. And yeah, in my later years, I have gone to some seminary classes, and I do a lot of stuff. And that taught me how to be a good manager or learn some other stuff, all that sort of stuff. But man, it's been all just reading the Bible and spending time with God that has made me the man I am, that enables me to be equipped to be a pastor. It's not because I got some degree, but spending time with God, I draw strength from that. We're getting ready to enter into the month of February. And since I started 2 years ago, we said, man, we want February to be for fasting. You know, something kind of new that we needed to start, really to say, God, I want to fast. I want to be abiding in you. I want to give up some stuff, you know, so that I can just lock in on you. And so I want to encourage you as we get ready to head into February, go ahead and start thinking about, God, what would you have me to fast from? And enter into that and look at some stuff. We'll have some pamphlets out next week just to encourage us to be fasting together as a church and talk about it in your community groups. And say, I just want to, you know, forget all the other stuff. Forget all the stuff, man. I just want to know God deeper. I love what Martin Luther said, the reformer Martin Luther, who Martin Luther King Jr. was named after because of his inspiration, and his family chose a name after this Martin Luther. But here's this quote that I want to share with you from Martin Luther as he talked about his schedules, he talked about his day, and he said this, work, 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 from early into late. And then he says this, right? I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Have you ever thought like that? That seems impossible, right? Maybe somebody back in the 1500s, maybe they could do that. They didn't have to work like we got to work. Oh, really? Really? Right, we can still go to the grocery store, right, and get food. These guys, they didn't work. They didn't eat literally, okay, because it was a farm, you know? I mean, they had things to do. And this guy says, I've got so much to do, work, 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 from early to morning. I've got to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. And that just, again, seems so bizarre to us. But I'm finding more and more, man, how much I need that and how much I need to be just in the presence of God. I love what this says when we talk about abiding, that God is working on our behalf. And again, I've been reading through Isaiah 64, 4. This verse just encouraged me so much. It says this. It says, for since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you. What kind of God is it? A God who works for those who wait for him. A God who works for those who wait for him. That doesn't mean you just sit around and twiddle your thumbs, but that means I trust in God. And God, I'm waiting for you to move. And until you move, I'm not going to move. I just want you in your presence. And then thirdly, and we'll close with this, and this is just old basketball term. I just said, leave it on the court. You know, when you're playing a game, it's the fourth quarter, you're down, you know, by 10 points, and the coach says, this is the fourth quarter, guys, okay? You got 12 minutes, and that's it. You leave it all on the court. Every ounce of energy you got, every drop of sweat you got left in your body, give it all you have because this is the last quarter. Leave it all on the court. Push forth with all that you got. Run as hard as you can. Don't hold anything back because after this, the game is over. And the score will be what it will be. And so leave it all on the court. And we're asking, is that biblical? Well, let's look. Let's look, right? Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Let me ask you a question. How did God love us? Did he love us with just like a little bit and just like, I'll just give these humans about 10% of my time because I got other things to do? Or did Jesus give it all? He gave it all on the cross. He gave it all. Love one another as I have loved you. And this is the key, right, to all this, is that I'm loving other people. As I abide, God's love is in me, and then it's just pouring out of me. Love one another as I have loved you. And then look at verse 13, and he again explains it to us. Greater love has no one than this, that someone what? Lay down his life for his friends. He's saying, imitate me. Lay down your life, your comfort, your possessions. Lay it down. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come and follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's a call to die for the sake of the kingdom of God. And are you, if you're a member of Plaza, and you're saying, man, 2018, how do we win? How do I win? Are you willing to lay it all, to leave it all on the court? That if this is the last quarter God gives us to be alive, if this is the last quarter we have as a church, are we going to leave it all on the court? Are we going to lay down our lives? And I'm asking each member of Plaza Baptist Church to lay down your life, your talents, your time, your treasure for the sake, not of this church, not of me, but of Jesus Christ and his fame being spread throughout this place. I'm asking you, would each of you consider that and say, God, am I doing all that you've called me to do? And again, that doesn't mean you come to me like, okay, Pastor, give me the to-do list. That'll come. It'll come for you to say, I'm sacrificing, I'm fasting, I'm getting in the Word of God, I'm blocking out my day, I'm waking up early, I'm going to bed late, I'm taking my lunch break, and God, I'm just locking into you so that I am abiding, so that I've got Christ in me, strength to be able to do whatever God has called me to do. And I'm following him. I love the missionary C.T. Studd. I've quoted him many times before, and man, just an awesome guy. And I want to share this first quote with you because I just love, right? Some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. He was a missionary to China, worked with Hudson Taylor, and then went to India and also Africa. And he just gave up his life for the sake of the gospel. He lived back in the 1800s, died in 1931. C.T. Studd, he was a stud, if you ask me. Okay, but perhaps you've heard this phrase before that he penned, and just leave it on that slide there. He said this, only one life twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last, right? Maybe you've heard that before, but that comes from a whole poem that he penned, and I want to share it with you this morning in closing. And the whole poem goes like this. We'll put it on the screen. He goes like this. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing convictions to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then, in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a brief few years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears. Each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in His will. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, how many of you felt that, right? When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I'll know, I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then he added this extra stanza at the end. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I'm dying, how happy I'll be. If the lamp of my life has burned out for thee. Leave it all on the court, Plaza. This is our time to respond again, and maybe you didn't take the opportunity earlier. We'd love for you to respond now, so I'm going to call our worship team up here as we pray with heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to end our service with a response to use our lives for the glory of God. Lord Jesus, I pray for myself that I would leave it all on the court. God, I pray that I would draw strength from abiding in you and you alone, because I don't have enough strength. You are the vine. I am the branches. Apart from you, I can do nothing. And I pray for my fellow brothers and sisters here. And Lord, I love them. Man, I love to see the ways they glorify your name by being satisfied in you, by enjoying you, and then displaying your works in all the variety of ways. Lord, as we look back on a year of 2017, and God, I just thank you for the ways this church, these believers have come together to serve and love you. And God, we're looking forward to a 2018 where we see more of your grace. God, but not because of our own strength, but because we have trusted and rested in you. So God, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, we pray. Let's stand.